In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
If I were to tell you that I know the will of God for you, would that interest you? Would you want to hear it, the will of God for you? And the will of God for you should be a central question in every believer's life. Fortunately, many believers do indeed ask the question, what is God's will in my life? What does God want me to do? It is the right question to ask. Unfortunately, all too often, we lock ourselves into a set of answers that are largely irrelevant. What is God's will in my life? Should I live in Wisconsin or Minnesota? What is the will of God in my life? Should I go to college or trade school? What is the will of God in my life? Take the new job or keep the current job? What is the will of God for me is the right question, but then we lock ourselves into these almost irrelevant choices, like telling God, don't worry, I've narrowed it down to just two things, and then you can just tell me which of the two you really want. The reality is, for most of these things, God wants you to decide for yourself. Yes, through prayer. Yes, through listening to the promptings of the Spirit. But part of the image of God in you is the gift of free will. One of the first commandments God gave mankind way back in Genesis was, have dominion. Have dominion over all the earth and all living things. Having dominion means be in charge. Literally, it means be lord over. Jesus taught us that God does not want us to be slaves. He doesn't want puppets. He doesn't want soldiers. He doesn't even want servants. We are the Father's children and friends of Christ. Now, as a footnote, yes, we are servants, still in our sinful condition. But with the goal and destination of being friends of Christ, Jesus said, no longer do I call you servants, but friends. And as children of God and friends of Christ, we are called to have co-dominion on the earth. Now, there are specific tasks sometimes that we are called to do by God, definitely. The Apostle Paul occasionally was driven by God to preach in one place or forbidden by God in another. But those specific promptings of specific details are actually kind of rare when you search the scriptures. Likewise, God may prompt us to visit a specific person on a specific moment or assist a certain victim at a certain time or speak a particular word at a particular place. But mostly, we are given the freedom to determine the specifics of our path of life. Paul tells the Galatians, it is for freedom that you have been set free. Stand fast and never submit to a yoke of bondage again. Never submit to a yoke of bondage again. So if you don't know whether to live in Wisconsin or Minnesota, if you don't know whether to go to college or trade school, or to take this new job or keep the current one, or any of the other bilateral choices we give God each and every day, most likely the will of God is just pick one. Just pick one. I can work with that. Now, does that mean God has no will for my life? Not remotely. What it means is God's will in your life is not limited to the multiple choice answers you've given him. God's will for your life transcends those kinds of choices time and time again. Fortunately, I can be of some assistance to you today because today's epistle actually has the phrase, this is the will of God for you, right in it. This is the will of God for you. And it doesn't mention jobs, and it doesn't mention schools, and it doesn't mention where to live. What it does say is this. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. That's God's will for you. God's will for you is not the earthly details, but God's will for you is in the quality and the spirit in which those details are done. God's will for you is much more internal. Rejoice always. Happens to be the shortest verse in the Bible. Now, I know a lot of people think Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Bible, but the New Testament was written in Greek and not English. You can do the research if you don't believe me. But be that as it may, it is God's will for you that you rejoice always. God wants joy in your heart, a contagious joy that infects those around you. That's what God's will is for you. And in this broken and sinful and messed up world, there is no way that we can rejoice always based on external decisions and external circumstances. It's just not going to be happening. The ability to rejoice always is internal. It comes from the knowledge of God. It's the gift of Jesus Christ. It's an awareness that whatever your outside circumstances are, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit can fill you with joy, and in that Spirit, you can rejoice always. It is God's will that you pray without ceasing. Pray without ever stopping. Now, that may sound like the impossible task, but first consider what we mean by pray. It certainly, praying includes speaking words of God, often before our icons or at our bed at night, anchored by the universal prayers of the church, and maybe including your own words and offerings. But clearly, one cannot pray like that 24 hours a day. That's not what we mean by pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing requires us to change something internally. Prayer is also an inner ear open to God, a heart turned to God, and a body engaged in the goodness of God. You know, that is something we can train ourselves to become better at. An ear or heart turned to God all day. And yes, there are tools that can help you train, you know, a prayer rope around your wrist, small icons in your home or locker or car or desk or shop, items that get us to remember God and prompt us to pray throughout the day. But all these things really are trying to change us internally, to train a heart to be turned to God without ceasing. It is God's will for you to give thanks in everything. Now, we have a hard enough time being thankful when things go well, because we get used to the blessings, we get spoiled, we take gifts of God for granted all the time. Just giving thanks genuinely for the good things is a hurdle just for us right away. But God's will for you is that you give thanks among the not-so-good things, too. For the brokenness of the world, for the sins you suffer at the hands of others. Not because sin and pain are good, or not because sin or pain are God's will. No. Full stop. No. Sin and pain are not good. But we give thanks in the midst of those things, one, because God is with us in them, and two, because God can bring strength and wisdom through them. Therefore, it is God's will for you to give thanks in everything. And if you can learn to rejoice and to pray and to give thanks in all circumstances, you will experience a transformed life, no matter where you live, no matter which school or job you ultimately choose. God's will for you in those earthly things, yes, pray. Yes, listen to the promptings of the Spirit. But still in the earthly things you choose, God has given you dominion. Just decide and go with it. God's real will for you is a transformed life in whatever earthly decision you make. And that transformed life comes when you rejoice always, when you pray without ceasing, and when you give thanks in everything. Because this is God's will for you. Amen.